like that you can see in the scripture where God ever broke a promise? Is there any place that you can ever see that God ever broke a promise? It's because there ain't one. God always keeps his promises. Amen. Sometimes we falter. Sometimes our faith gets weak. But, you know, we've been talking about the power of God here lately. Power of God's so important, guys. I can tell you, we don't have what it takes to live a Christian life. We really don't. We can't conjure it up in ourselves. I was thinking about something as an illustration. We're going to be in chapter 9 of Acts here today. Before we do, I got a demonstration. So this is a really nice tool, isn't it? Can anybody tell me what this tool is? It's a cordless drill, isn't it? It's a cordless drill. So by cordless, that means it does not have a cord, right? So like if I want to use this drill, I do not have to worry about getting the cord out and plugging it into the wall, right? So I got this drill right now, and I'm wanting to run a screw in. You know, let's say it's a finish screw, okay? It's a finish screw, but I keep pulling that trigger and nothing happens. He's already figured it out. Okay, but we're going to relate to it a little bit more than just the battery, okay? There's no power, right? So I can take this really, really nice tool, and I mean, this is an excellent tool, and I can take this tool and I can use it as a hammer and try to hammer in that screw. I can use it differently than what it's really intended to be used. What am I going to do? I'm going to make a mess, right? I'm going to make a mess because it does not have the power that is required. It may be cordless, but it still needs power. And so whenever we connect this wonderful tool with the right power source, we have a tool that is very useful, that will not make a mess every time we try to do something with it, okay? Guys, that's just like us. We're great tools, you know? We were made and created in God's image. But when we try to do stuff in our own power or without the power of God plugged into us, we make a mess. Do I get an amen to that? We can make a big mess before it's all over with. Have you guys ever made a big mess before out of things? Come on, let's be honest now. I've made some big messes in my life, okay? Hey, do not become hopeless if you've made a big mess, because God's a mess. He's the one who straightens out messes, okay? God is, a mess cleaner, but he doesn't really clean it. He actually can turn things around. Okay, so no matter how bad our mess is, God is actually able to handle it. What we need to do is make sure that we get plugged into that power source. What happens if this thing here runs out? Then this wonderful tool becomes pretty useless again. And if I try to continue to use it at that point, it's going to make a big mess. Okay, but if I go ahead and get recharged, put a new battery back in there, new battery pack, you know, that's why we got to continually go back to God to be recharged. It is really important that we do that, because we all want to be a good tool. We all want to be used of God, but guys, it takes being plugged into the right power source for that to happen. And so I really want you to think about that as we look at our message for today. Again, we're going to be in Acts chapter 9. So if y'all want to get turned to there, some of the scriptures that we'll be covering will be up on the screen. Screen, but not all of them. So we're going to kind of read through this, and then we're going to break it down. But we're going to talk about a guy that was transformed. And man, was he ever transformed. We're going to talk about the power of God that has the power to transform. And we're going to talk about this guy today, and you all know him. He was like the greatest persecutor of the Christians at first. We've already kind of touch the tip of who he is. Whenever Stephen was being stoned, the first recorded martyr, and he was being stoned to death mercilessly by the religious group in Jerusalem, those who were Jews and did not want to hear about Jesus, there was a man that was standing there holding their coats so that they wouldn't mess him up while they were killing this guy. And he was consenting to it all. He was giving his approval to this death. And the man's name was Saul. Now, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but, you know, in my own human heart, because I can sometimes be given to unforgiveness. Do you ever have that struggle before? Sometimes hard to forgive, right? It's hard to let things go. It's hard to believe that God can really change things. At that point in time, it would be really hard for me to imagine that Saul could ever be any different than that. And the man was like a cold-blooded killer, in essence. But I want you to know that, you know, Saul was created to be a tool of God. And in his own way, because he was misguided and he wasn't plugged into the right power source, Saul was making a big mess out of things. Okay? But Saul's heart was all along that he was trying to have zeal for God. He just didn't understand God properly. Guys, it don't matter what our background is, I want you to know God has the power to transform anybody. Do I get an amen? He has the power to transform anybody. It's God's power that does this. And we're going to read about that today. And man, I'm telling you, this is like the most awesome account. So let's read through this, and then we're going to go back and break it down. Then Saul, here's this man who held them coats, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, capital W, that means the way of Jesus, right? The way to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and children, the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And now Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do I get an amen? Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Let us pray. Dear God, as we read these scriptures, we see an amazing miracle happen. It's called rebirth. Saul was born again at this point. Lord, we see that it was you that did it. That man had evil intent in his heart. He was going out to gather up Christians. Bring them in, have them persecuted, have them even killed. But Lord, what we know is you had a different plan. Though he thought he was serving God, he found out you had a much different plan for him. And so Lord, I just want to thank you that your plan prevails. It prevails in my life, it prevailed in Saul's life here. And he became the man who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament for us today. What an amazing, amazing account. So Lord, help us never to doubt that you have the power to transform. In Jesus' name, amen. We learned some stuff from these scriptures. I can tell you, God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen? He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So that means that the God we're reading about who did this is still the same God that we serve today, and He still has the same power. Boy, I'm telling you, whenever I look at these scriptures, I see some stuff that I need to learn. There's sometimes I just ain't seeing things right. Do I get an amen to that? Do you guys ever get to the point you just ain't seeing things right? Okay? God has the power to transform your sight. He can change the way we see things. I'm telling you, Saul was absolutely convinced he was doing the right thing whenever he was doing this stuff, but he just wasn't seeing stuff right. Amen? So what we see is that whenever he rose from the ground, when his eyes were open, he saw no one. You know what? God stopped him in his tracks. He showed him that he was absolutely in rebellion against God himself, against Jesus. In fact, Jesus said, it is hard for you to kick against the goads. Do you know what goads are? Can anybody tell me what goads are? It's like a big long nail that's used to prod cattle or to guide an animal. In fact, they would even... You know, if you had a big oxen, have you ever seen an oxen? They use them like to pull plows and stuff. They're huge animals. They are so strong. And I can tell you, if they get the wrong idea, they're pretty hard to turn them away. I mean, they can literally just walk through a building if they wanted to. They can walk through the wall. And in fact, if you put them in a stall, they'll just walk right through the side of the stall. Unless you put something around them that will be somewhat painful. And these nails, they do the job. They're long, they're sharp. And what Jesus is saying here is that he had already been trying to guide Saul with these painful instruments around him. But Saul was so intent on doing things his way, by his power, that he continued to go forward until Jesus finally just stopped him in the middle of his tracks. And literally, he blinded him so that he could change his sight. He could change the way that he looked at things. I'm telling you guys, I've had that moment. I know what he's talking about. Because whenever God stops me in my tracks, and I'm not just talking about salvation either. Sometimes he still does this to me today. But yeah, especially at salvation. He stopped him in his tracks. And whenever Saul arose and opened his eyes, he couldn't see nothing. Jesus had taken his sight. He was realigning him. But they went ahead and led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days there without sight. And you know what? He didn't even pay any attention to eating or drinking during this time. I'm telling you, God had Saul's attention at this point. Now, he didn't get everybody's attention in the same way that day. You know, there were other people walking with Saul, and they didn't see and hear the same stuff. They didn't all go blind. You know, when God's dealing with you sometimes, other people aren't going to know what's going on. Do I get an amen to that? But guys, what you need to worry about is God's dealing with you. When he's dealing with you, let him deal with you. Don't worry about if everybody else gets it. At that moment, you need to get it. I need to get it when God's dealing with me. And so don't be looking for everybody else to get totally on the same page right away, guys. Let God deal with you. And so Saul sat there, and there wasn't nothing else more important to him than finding out what was God's will? What was God's desire in this thing? And I'll tell you what, God was dealing with him. Amen? So we see that during this time, God called one of his other servants to go take a look at this and to minister to Saul. And so we just jump down to verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, I love this part, he says, "Brother Saul." Now, we all know how Ananias felt by what he said before. Ananias was scared. He knew this guy. This guy's a killer. This guy had authority. And he came with evil intent, and then he believed God. He believed God. And we're going to talk about that transformation as well, but listen to how he addresses him. "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately, there fell from his eyes something like scales. Do you ever pray for somebody who's lost or pray for somebody who's going in the wrong direction and it just seems like they can't see? And you wonder, what's up? It just seems like they just, you know, you can see it so clearly what the problem is, but they just can't seem to see it. Have you ever had that issue? Can I get a witness on that? It's like they got scales over their eyes. Amen. Who has the power to remove the scales? Ananias didn't remove these scales, guys. Nobody else removed these scales. God removed these scales. Now, it's true, Ananias was obedient, and God used him to take this message, but immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once. And then what did he do? He immediately did what God said. He got baptized. God had already put it in his heart that he needed to be immediate in his obedience. And so that's exactly what he did. Do we remember when we talked about that Ethiopian guy? I think it was last week we were talking about that Ethiopian guy. What did he do as soon as he really got it? And he came across water and he immediately got baptized. Took that first step. Is there anybody in here that maybe hadn't taken that first step? Maybe you've come to belief, but you haven't really, truly given your heart to God to follow him in that first step of baptism. I don't know. Maybe there's a few in here. I would want to tell you that's where your Christian journey really starts, is on that path of first receiving Christ. And yes, at that point, you're saved. If you truly receive him as your Lord and Savior, you truly agree to follow him, you truly give your heart to him, he truly comes to live in you. But I can tell you, you won't flourish in your Christian walk until you take that first step of truly believer's baptism. That's the call for every Christian, to take that first step with him. And then that's where your pathway will begin to take form. If you refuse on that first step, I believe you will get stunted and stuck. And you will not flourish or grow. And so I would encourage you, if the Lord's speaking to you on that today, you need to take that first step. You really do. It's a step of obedience. And it's for every believer who has opportunity to do that, to be baptized. Just a little side note. Let's move on in the thought, though. The power of God can also strengthen the frightened, because this is the tale of two different people. We've got Saul, who's being involved here, being dealt with, and we also have Ananias. And so the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus." And he was very specific. You notice that Jesus was very specific in this. Because everybody knew Saul of Tarsus, he was the one. Word had gotten out. This is the guy who's going up and rounding up people. He's got authority, and he is coming looking for anybody who's worshiping Jesus. And so he tells him exactly where he is, and he tells him to go. Arise and go. And inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Wow, that's pretty bold of God to put that vision in his heart even before he calls Ananias to do it. Amen? So it kind of seems like Ananias is going to do this thing. You notice all of a sudden Ananias kind of gets a little argumentative. He's questioning this thing. He's not 100% sure. He says, "Lord, I've heard from many about this man. In other words, he's saying, "Maybe you don't know about him, God. Maybe you don't know who you're telling me to go over there and talk to. This guy's bad news. How much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem." Guys, when God calls us to something, we just need to trust him. And yeah, we may be frightened. It's not a sin to feel frightened at first. But guys, we need to trust God and obey. He will take care of the fear. He's the one who'll take care of the fear. You know, Joshua was frightened whenever he started leading the people in the promised land. That's why God kept telling him to be courageous. Be strong and courageous. He kept encouraging him, but just go forward. And you know what? If Ananias would have refused to go, I don't think he would have found provision from the Lord like that. But you see, he was more concerned with obeying God than he was his own emotional fear. You may be fearful about something God's calling you to do today, and I'm not going to fault you for being fearful, guys. But God will fault you for disobedience. And so we really need to just be willing to obey. And of course, God knew he was going to obey, because God was going to strengthen him to obey, and God had already shown Saul, there's a guy named Ananias coming. And he's going to come, he's going to lay hands on you, and you're going to receive your sight. Imagine, guys, this is where Saul's journey of being an amazing apostle of Christ starts, is by God telling him ahead of time what's going to happen, and then it actually came to pass. Have you ever had that prayer time when God spoke to you and He said something was going to work out a certain way and it looked totally unlikely and all of a sudden, guess what? God shows up and He does exactly what... What does it do to your faith? It strengthens it. How about when you pray for someone else and you're praying for them and you're praying that God would say something specific to them and you don't tell nobody else and then all of a sudden, that person comes to you and says, "You're never going to believe it. You wouldn't believe what God just showed me. I had somebody come to my office today, and that person told me exactly, word for word, what I was praying for them earlier, 2 weeks ago. The exact wording that I was praying, that they would see something. And guess what? God turned on the light." See, God knows how to do it. God has the power to do it. God has the power to change our vision, to show us what we need to see. And God has the power to help strengthen the person who's so frightened that their faith is about that big or maybe even smaller. And we're afraid to step out on it, but I'll tell you, if you take that first step, God's going to be there every time. He was there for Ananias, and Ananias believed, and I'll show you how I know he believed, was because whenever he got there, he said, "Brother Saul." He just believed God. That was the only thing he had to go on. He had no evidence other than the fact that God has always been faithful. Other than the fact that the Holy Spirit confirmed it in his heart. Other than the fact that he wanted to obey God more than he even wanted to live. Because if this thing didn't go right, he could die. But it was worth it to him to obey God. Do I get an amen? Is it worth it to you today to obey God? I'm just going to be honest with you. It could mean your death. I will assure you it will mean your death in a spiritual way, because we need to die to ourselves and do what God says. We may think things need to work out a different way. We may think we know how it needs to go, but I can tell you, if it's going against the Word of God, you need to stop what you're doing. You need to do what God's Word says. You need to follow God. And as God promotes it in your heart to do things a certain way, you need to do it as long as it lines up with the Word of God. The last one, guys, and here's the deal. Whenever it all comes together, the power of God can work through the worst sinner. Just like that power tool. You know, it don't have a cord. It's a cordless tool, but it still needs power. And it's just like us. We're kind of like cordless tools. We're not really connected to anything anymore. We think we're kind of free agents, but really the deal here is, guys, if you don't let God's power fill you, you're going to make a mess of everything you touch. In fact, Jesus talks about it in John 15. He says that he's the vine, we're the branches. Apart from him, we cannot bear good fruit. We cannot bear good fruit. Only when we're connected to the branch, to the vine, can the branch bear good fruit. And so as we are connected, we can let his power flow through us. And guess what? The fruit will flourish. You know, I actually got peaches off my tree this year. This has been the recurring story for people that have been here for quite a few years. Y'all know I have had a terrible time with my peach trees. I was ready to dig them up and get rid of them last year. This year, we got well over a bushel of peaches off of our peach trees, and we got pears off of our pear tree as well. And so, like, I'm thrilled to death that our peach trees finally bore fruit. Yes. We even got a few apples. Guys, I'm telling you, we're rocking on this thing. We praise God. But see, the deal was, praise the Lord, we pruned those trees. Do you know all those limbs I pruned off of those trees? None of those bore fruit. They were all disconnected, but the strength came from the ones who were still connected. Amen? And so when we're still connected, we get that power. And here's the deal with Paul. He finally got connected to the true vine there. And he began to be used as a powerful tool. God the power of God can work through the worst sinner. In fact, Paul later on in his life, he even admits it. We look here at Galatians 1, 13, and then 22 through 23. Look at what Paul has to say about his former life. "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it." And he goes on, I skip down a few verses for time. "And I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ, but they were hearing only. He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy." Here's the deal, guys. I'm just going to kind of end it with this note. You don't give up on anybody. Because I'm telling you, God can turn them around in an instant. I want you to know that this very word right here that I live by and preach and believe wholeheartedly, this is the Word of God. This is the holy, inspired Word of God that I hold in my hands. I believe you can base your life on it, and I try to base my life on it today. Whenever I was 29, I thought you couldn't trust it. I am evidence of that type of transformation. And now I have no doubt. This is the Word of God. Whenever I was 29, I didn't even believe Jesus was the only way. And in my 30th year of life, God transformed me. Whenever I was 29, I'm just going to be honest with you. This sounds really ugly, but I'm just going to tell you the honest truth. I was trying to persecute the faith out of my wife. I was a Saul. I came home one day, she was saved, and it totally rocked my world, and I wasn't so sure I really liked it. In fact, I was absolutely sure I didn't like it. I knew that for her to confess Jesus as her Lord, I had seen it enough with other people that she was going to become one of those crazy fanatics, and that I was, my whole life and all the things I thought that were fun were going to be demanded of me along the way. Do I get an amen? Has anybody walked that path? I mean, maybe it wasn't your wife, but somehow, somewhere, Jesus let you know that to surrender to Him was to surrender your will to Him, and I wasn't wanting to surrender my will to anybody. It was mine. I wanted to keep it. I wanted to do what I wanted. And I knew that that demanded it all. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I made a conscious choice during that time. I was going to make it so hard on her, I was going to find out if it was real. Isn't that a terrible thing to admit? It's just the truth. Guys, I'm being a truthful person with you this morning. And here's the deal. The night I got saved, here was my thought. I said to myself and I said to God, I said, I have made it so hard on that woman and she still loves me. I know you have to live in her, so I want that. And I think once Saul got it, yeah, he was really bad before. But I'll tell you what, God used him in a really powerful way after. So no matter where you are, no matter where that person is that you're praying for them, no matter who it is, no matter how far they've gone, no matter how far they are away from Him, I can assure you that if God wants to bring about new life in their heart, He can do it. I can also assure you, you can't force it. I can assure you, you can't save them. I can assure you, you can't change their vision. But I can guarantee you, God can. And so here's the deal, guys. I think we need to spend more time talking to God about people even than we spend talking to people about God. And I think we need to talk to everybody about God. So that means we need to be talking to God a whole lot about people, letting God do the work in their hearts. And we see, like, even in this whole experience that Saul had, this transformation experience, God did the work, but He still called His people to be involved. Amen? He sent Ananias over there. He didn't just give him back his sight. He sent Ananias over there to touch him, to pray for him. And he received his sight. You see, it's the same way for us. God's got a plan on who He wants to use you in their life. And if we just sit and keep telling God no, I guess God will probably send somebody else over there. You know, He's a sovereign God. But man, I want to be part of the A-team. I am. He's calling me to do it. Let's do it. Let's be glad to do it. Let's feel honored to do it. Because then we get to see the great miracles. Ananias saw a miracle that day, and later on, whenever Saul, I don't know how long Ananias lived, but later on down the road, let's say he lived another 20, 30 years, he got to see Saul doing what Saul was doing. And of course, we know him as Paul. The Greek version of the name, I suppose. I don't know. Some have told me. But what I'm saying is, Ananias got to take great joy that he remembered the day Saul received his sight at the touching of his hand, of the praying over him. Don't you want to have those in your life? Let's be faithful. Let's not give up. Let's not do what the flesh says. Let's do what God says. Amen? What's God telling you this morning? Maybe He's telling you you need to take that first step, baptism. I don't know. Maybe He's telling you there's somebody you need to go pray for. Maybe He's telling you, don't give up on that person that you just done gave up on yesterday. You need to rethink this thing because God's still working and that person's still alive and God's still maybe doing something in his life that you or her life that you can't even see. I can tell you, I think I can pretty well speak for my wife on this one. She was about ready to give up on me. She was trying desperately not to. She was really hoping that God was going to do something, but I'm telling you, it looked the very worst right before God really turned me around. Gave me new sight, new vision, helped me see. And I can tell you, it just came as simple as that night. I just asked Jesus, I said, if you're really the only way, I gotta know it. Because I'm not going to follow something make-believe. I got to know. And for everybody, maybe their testimony looks a little different, but this is what God did for me. He convicted me over my own sin so desperately that I finally absolutely took full responsibility for it and stopped blaming anybody else. That night, I owned it. I owned it before an almighty God who I had so desperately offended that I was going to spend forever in hell because of it. But Jesus was holding out his hand. And he said, I died for you. You give your life to me and you can live forever with me. And I did it that night. Have I made mistakes since then? My wife's nodding her head. Absolutely. Some of them have been monumental ones too. But I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit lives in me. He convicts me. He straightens out my course a lot quicker. And we are yoke partners now in the faith that I once tried to persecute out of her. I'm ashamed of what I did before, but I'm going to tell you, not so much that I'm going to try to hide it from you all, because I want you to know the glory of God. And so live it, guys. Whatever God's done in your life, live it before others. Disciple others. That's what we're called to do. Teach others. But don't give up. Let me pray for you. Dear Father, we can see that there's nobody, I'm going to use a double negative here, nobody that you can't transform. So that means that you can transform anybody. And so, Lord, what we want to do is we want to look to you and we want to see that you are able. Help us not to lose hope, not to lose faith, not to give up, not to give in. The devil's over there whispering in our ear right now all the time trying to tell us to give up on people. Give up on praying. Give up on doing good. It don't work, he keeps telling us, but he's a liar. He's a liar, he's a thief, and he's a murderer. And we want him to have no part in our life. We're going to listen to Jesus Christ. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. And if he's not your Lord here today in this place, Lord, I am praying that if there's anybody here that don't know you as Lord and Savior, today could be the day of salvation for them. If you're calling their heart, I'm not going to try to manipulate them into it, Lord, because it wouldn't work. But if you're calling their heart, I pray they would come forward and express faith in you today. And Lord, just start walking with you. We'd be like that power tool that's got the battery finally plugged into it. We'll be able to do some good now. Even like Saul, he wanted to do the right thing. He thought he was. But you changed his vision. Let us be like that too. You be the one to give us our vision. I'm going to see things like Jesus sees things. In Jesus' name, amen. All God's, eh? You know, sometimes we want to feel powerful ourselves. Guys, we got nothing. God's got it. We just need to get it from him. We need to stay connected to him. That's where we get it. And I love that song because it's talking about God having his own way. You know, unless two be agreed, they cannot walk together. That was what me and my wife were experiencing. We were not agreed. Her life was going toward Jesus then, and mine wasn't. Unless we get agreed, we couldn't continue to walk together because it was tearing us apart. You know, unless we can be totally agreed with God, that thing ain't going to work either. Because what we'll be doing is tearing ourselves away from him all the time. You know, or trying to. And unless we can really agree, we can't be yoked together going in the same direction willingly. We'll have to be being forced all the time. There's a psalm that talks about don't be like the mule who has to be led by the bit or bridle. Guys, what does it look like whenever the horse or the mule, I'm looking at a horse trainer's wife over here, what does it look like whenever they have to force it with that bit to do what it's supposed to do? It is not a pretty sight. That bit pulls down on their tongue, and it causes a great deal of discomfort to the horse to force it to do what it needed to do. About a year into my Christian walk, I started feeling like that. was like, I'd say, okay, God, if you're going to make me, I'll do it. Man, that's a pretty stressful way to live. And finally, I mean, literally, I'm reading that and I go, this is me. This is describing me. And I don't want to be like that anymore. Who am I wrestling against here? I'm wrestling against God. He's stronger than me. By a long shot, I'm not going to win. So it was like I started seeing, you know, okay, God, help me to have a heart to say yes. Don't you know that's what happened to Ananias that day? He's like, all right, God, I'm scared here. But, yes, I'll do it. Man, what a blessing he found there. That's what I want all of us to have, is that same blessing. Let's say yes to God daily. Amen?
Amen.
All right. That's what amen means, too. Like, I really believe it. Yes. Uh-oh. We got at least one.